Chamber. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Avid Gamer Podcast. Thank you so much for listening and for listening to all the other ones that we put out. Hopefully you listened. If not, go back to iTunes where you found this and download all of them and tell your friends and make them download all of them. And then your aunts and uncles, too, because I really need to build a big audience. And between me, you, and my co-host here, my life is dependent on it. Mm-hmm. I have gambled everything on this podcast and the T-shirts and everything.
And it's not going well. Not going well.
I haven't eaten in 3 days.
You're looking lean, though, bro.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah.
But, hey, you just heard the voice of frequent Avid Gamer contributor, Mr. Brian. Brian, how are you?
Doing well, man. How's it going?
It's going well.
Hungry?
I'm very hungry. Okay. A little delusional.
Yeah.
That's okay, because by tomorrow, this will be online, and people are going to tell their friends, and it's going to pick up, and then
it's going to spread like a virus.
I'm going to be rolling in dough, and I can afford to eat again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, one of the last episodes we did was on comic book movies, and it was a wild success. I'm guessing. That's slow clap. That's
yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we realized right after we did it, and we knew this was going to happen, that we forgot to talk about a bunch of movies. We hit a lot of the mainstream ones and missed a lot of the mainstream ones, but
We missed some big ones. I'm ashamed of some of these that I missed.
Well, we can talk about these for hours probably, and there's so many that have come out in the past couple decades that it's easy to miss. So we're gonna talk about some more and give some feedback on some more. Because if you love video games and you love comic books, then you, of course, love the comic book movie genre.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably love to hear our opinions on it. So anyway, we got a list in front of us, actually, because it's so many that we forgot we had to make a list. The first one on the list is Sin City.
Sin City. I love this movie. For a while, it was probably my favorite movie.
Really?
Back when did it come out? 2005?
Yeah,
I didn't see it in theaters, but after I saw it on DVD, I snatched up and would probably literally watch it about once a week.
Yeah.
Loved it. And a girl I was dating just after college bought me the first 6 or 7 books in the series. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Because
this is one of the ones sort of ashamed to say that I watched the movie first. Like, I'm like, oh, you had to watch the movie to appreciate, and then you went back and read the comics, but for this one, I did the same thing. And
so she got you the first couple?
The first five, maybe.
Lunch and ladies are so nice.
They are.
Gosh, they are. Date them. They have money.
Sweet lady, yeah. She's a widower, you know, in her late 70s.
But Sin City was a great movie. It's a very gritty mm-hmm, movie, mm-hmm. Shot mostly in black and white with very little color.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I mean, it's reflective. It's very reflective of how Frank Miller imagined it in the books.
Right.
They do a lot of shot for shot takes, like the exact same shot from the panel of the comic is what's represented on screen.
Yeah, that was a great movie. It had a killer cast.
Yeah.
It had a killer cast. It had a Rosario Dawson and Brittany Murphy and
rest in peace.
Rest in peace. She won't be around for the sequel, which is a shame because she was a beauty.
Yeah,
I thought she was just always just beautiful, great actress too.
You loved her in Clueless, didn't you?
That's when I first saw her in Clueless. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Her name was Ty. She was great.
All right.
Was
please,
it Ty?
Please stop.
I forget.
No one cares.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it had Mickey Rourke. This is one of Mickey Rourke's comeback films.
Comeback. Yeah.
Yeah. He was Marv, and Mickey Rourke's face and Marv's face look alike. He's probably like 5 minutes of makeup chair
tops. I think Marv actually might be slightly more attractive than Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke took a break from acting and went into boxing, and it
didn't go well.
Didn't go well. It seemed like he was just a punching bag for a while, or his face was at least.
Yeah.
And then he got back into movies, and this was one of his big comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. Elijah Wood was in it. Oh, he was so sadistic in this movie.
Absolutely. Powers Booth.
Powers Booth.
Clive Owen.
He's probably the biggest star in it. Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba. Oh, man.
She was a. This was her just peak Jessica Alba. She's since had a couple kids, which is not a bad thing.
No.
But this was her hottie peak.
Yeah. Peak of her most attractiveness. She was still on the Maxim list. top 100 most attractive women.
You get that
shit? No, I looked at it. I looked at it.
You looked at that shit rag magazine?
No, I looked at it online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, because
there's nothing you could say where it didn't, where you did not spend time with Maxim.
I spent time on the website. I'm not arguing that. Looking at a list of the top 100 hottest women, except for Miley Cyrus, who's number one. Do not agree.
Number one.
Number one on the list.
Wow. How many times did her dad have to do an online vote on the poll?
Her and her dad and her brother's band voted a lot.
God damn.
And Liam Hemsworth, I imagine.
Nah, I hear they broke up.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, it ties in because isn't he a brother to Thor?
Yeah, he's Thor's brother. I guess that makes him Loki.
Yeah. Wow. Nice. High five.
I don't have any friends.
Nope, you don't. Great movie. I always recommend Sin City.
Sin
City 2 coming out. It's basically the same cast, minus Brittany Murphy. Angelina Jolie was supposed to be in that.
Is she not?
I don't think she's in that. Okay. For years, I think Robert Rodriguez, who's a great director.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that on the yet-to-be-aired Tarantino podcast. I think he waited for so long until Angelina Jolie's schedule became available,
mm-hmm.
but she kept having babies and adopting babies and doing, you know, it just never worked out. So glad they got that rolling along again. Yeah. So this is going to be a prequel of sorts.
Uh-huh. It's going to be, who else is in it? Oh, God, the guy that played Jonah Hex.
Oh, Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
Additions to the movie. Who are they getting to replace Michael Clark Duncan?
Michael Clark Duncan, he's no longer there with us, his character, I don't know who's going to... Probably Ving Rhames. Ving Rhames.
You're probably exactly right.
Ving Rhames' phone probably rang off the hook as soon as Michael Clark Duncan
died. We're doing Green Mile 2. We need you, buddy.
We need you, man.
I'm in MI5 right now, guys.
I get burp ups and bees. Yeah.
Yeah, but,
so that was a great movie. Yeah, I love that.
Any favorite characters or parts of Sin City?
Well, you know, it's been out since 2005. We're going on almost 8 years, almost 10 years. I don't want to drop any spoilers. But when you see what happened to Elijah Wood's character,
yeah,
and he's got that grunt, that sly smile on his face, and they pan back.
Kevin, his name's Kevin. Yeah. In the movie.
Yeah, great scene. What about you?
I have a few. There's a scene where the cops come to arrest Marv in a sleazy motel, and there's a shot, just a single shot of Marv, like you hear like the cops like in tandem, like coming up the square spiral staircase. Is a good shot of that from above. They're knocking on the door, and there's Marv just leaning on the other side of the door in his trench coat, and he's like flicking his lighter, like just calm as can be. He's about to rain some destruction down on those people.
That's a few minutes before he's got that cop's face on the street, right?
Yeah, carrying him.
Yeah.
The other one probably be Dwight, the character played by Clive Owen, in the bathroom just before his encounter with Jackie Boy, Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
I get him and Guillermo del Toro mixed up sometimes. Before he does this whole deal with shoving his face in the toilet, there's a shot of him getting dressed when Benicio's out in the apartment, and he just flips his collar up on his jacket, so like classic badass look. And I was like, yeah, that's a cool guy.
That was a great movie. Uh-huh. I don't want to say it's an underrated movie, but I remember, I don't know. I mean, I remember hearing people were like, yeah, just kind of mild to it. Over the few years, it's gotten a huge cult following. Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Did you ever see that movie, The Spirit?
I did.
Yeah, I never saw that. Is that another Frank Miller thing? It looks practically identical in
same nature. It was a great movie.
Okay.
Great
movie. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to rewatch that to talk about it, but that was a really good movie.
Okay.
Very, you know, noir type movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. The next one is on the list is Watchmen, and me and Brian here both love Watchmen because we love the graphic novel which it sprang from, which is the Alan Moore classic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Top 100 best novels of the 2000s or the century. That's voted by Time.
Watchmen is very faithful to the source material, which is always really cool when you have an adaptation they took not a whole lot of liberties. Alan Moore, I think, was involved as much as he could be with the movie adaptation. I loved it. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Zack Snyder did a terrific job, I think. They did change that one aspect of how those people died. In the comic, it was that they manufactured what they thought were aliens. And here, they changed it to, Dr. Manhattan's attacking us.
Yeah.
Result was sort of the same. I did. There was a lot. Like, there was no way they could have been 100% inclusive of what was in that book. Oh, that is a thick, thick-ass comic book.
Well, I look at that, and it's a long movie. It could have been expanded and made into two movies.
Oh, yeah.
I would have liked to see that. I'm going to mess up her name, but Malin Ackerman. She was the blonde.
Silk Spectre?
Yeah, Silk Spectre. This is one of the first movies. She was one of the first movies I saw her in. She did a great job. She's super big now. I don't know. It was a great movie. It was probably one of the best movies I saw that year that it came out, which was like 2006, 2007. Mm-hmm. Dr. Manhattan looked great.
Yeah.
You know?
You would like Dr. Manhattan.
I do like
Dr. Naked.
Yeah, Dr. Manhattan looked great.
Yeah. I like the whole origin of Dr. Manhattan scene set to I have the soundtrack on my iPod, and that's a cool just acoustic song that they play. It's kind of haunting.
Isn't that Smashing Pumpkins?
That you're thinking of. That's the beginning of the end.
That's the end of the beginning of the end.
Yeah, that's in the trailer. This is just 100% musical, and it's it got some Latin-y type of name to it. But that was a great scene with the voiceover, taking it through him as a man, his accident, and his return back. That was. I can't say enough good things about that, about the movie. I truly love the movie, but the comic book is even, it's so deep. The way they took that comic that was being read within the Watchmen, the pirate comic, and kind of had that go along with what was happening in the real world.
I think this movie was the catapult for the return of, we mess his name up. I mess it all the time. Earl Haley.
Yeah, Jack Earl Haley.
Uh-huh. He played Rorschach. And
yeah.
God damn, did he just nail that role?
Yeah, he did. Scrappy, dirty.
Everything that you, when you crazy, read, when you read the comic, you know, you kind of get that mental image of who Rorschach is, and I think he nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. Rorschach's a badass. Like, there's a lot of movie badasses in, a lot of badasses in comic book movies, or just movies in general, but Rorschach's a cut above the way he's just brutal.
Yeah.
Just relentless, and does not. You know, shit.
Well, he doesn't compromise on what he believes.
Mm-mm. No, he doesn't. You got to respect that.
Yeah, even if it means him dying, it's fine.
Oh, yeah. In the end,
So this was written by Alan Moore. The Watchmen was written by Alan Moore. We're going to jump down to another one on the list. It's actually one of my favorite comics is Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan Moore, he didn't create Swamp Thing, but he reinvented Swamp Thing back in the mid-early 80s. I think he jumped on a Swamp Thing issue number 20, but his arc in Swamp Thing just revitalized. He made comics dark pretty much. He started the Vertigo line, and he helped kick off the Vertigo line when the comics could be a little bit scary at a time where comic books were kid friendly. So anyway, Swamp Thing came about just because of Alan Moore's revamping the character. Have you seen Swamp Thing 1 and 2?
Are there movies?
Yes.
Oh, I saw the television show. Was there a TV show? Saw something on the screen.
Okay, they did a TV show based off of the movies.
Okay.
Okay, but there was two movies.
I didn't know there were movies.
Yes, actually. There were two movies. I'll loan to you on DVD. The first one, they were both kind of low budget. The second one, way more than the first. But it's Dr. Alec Holland, his story. He creates a bio-restore of... formula, mm-hmm. and he goes into the swamp, and basically he gets killed where he's on fire, and he goes into a swamp, and then Swamp Thing is born from that.
Mm-hmm. Is it still him? Like, well, does he have his memories or anything?
He does. Now, the comic and the movie are different in one way. Alan Moore kind of made it when in Alan Moore's run at the beginning, mm-hmm. the Swamp Thing is captured.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically dies, mm-hmm. and they dissect him, and they find out that Alec Holland really isn't the Swamp Thing. It just so happens Alec Holland went into the swamp, and the green is what they call it,
mm-hmm.
Formed and created, and the green basically thinks he's Alec Holland. His Alec Holland memories are trapped in the green. Okay, so but in the movie it's actually him. He that biorestorative formula goes all over his body and he becomes a Swamp Thing. So that's a big difference between the comic and the movie, but the movies were good, very cheesy plot. It's almost like they were meant to be midnight movies on like TNT or Up All Night or AMC or not AMC.
The weekend movie.
Weekend movies, stuff like that. Yeah, they made it. It seemed like throwback to like, you know, the campy 50s horror movies. But they were really good. And the second one, they're still fighting. His antagonist is still Anton Arcane, who is the really evil guy who's trying to steal the formula from Alec Holland. Heather Locklear was in it back when she was a sex symbol.
Nice.
So very cheesy movies. I wouldn't say run out and get them, but you can find the DVDs real cheap. But the TV series was good.
Okay.
The TV series was really good. I like that. But that was another Alan Moore kind of inspired creation, just like Watchmen. Or what he created Watchmen. He didn't create the Swamp Thing, but he really gave the character a new life.
Have you seen the Before Watchmen comics that are coming out?
I've seen them. I've read through a few of them. Yeah. I don't buy them because DC did something kind of dumb and they released them all at one time and it just came too costly.
Yeah.
Not all at one time, but they launched a few series at the same time. And to buy those every month, yeah. I wouldn't want to. Alan Moore has said...
He's against it.
Oh, very much. It's his creation.
Yeah, like... When did DC get control of that? They haven't always...
Yeah.
Have they?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
DC, a lot of these comic companies are notorious for, you know, once somebody creates something...
Just wringing the dish rag out.
Saying, okay, yeah. You work for us when you create it, it's their creation. Yeah. But yeah, I'm not into that. Every character doesn't need to have an origin story.
Yeah, that's awful. Like, what he created was such a great, self-contained universe and story. Like, you don't need before, you don't need what happened after.
Right.
You got this slice of that universe, and it's well written, it's well drawn. It's, yeah.
Well, not every character needs an origin story. I say that. Yeah. You know, we don't need to see how Darth Vader became Darth Vader. We can, you know, kind of put that together. We don't need to know how Freddy Krueger became Freddy Krueger, or how Leatherface became Leatherface. That's what all these movies now are doing, is trying to explain how they became this and almost make you sympathetic for him. And I don't need that.
Poor Leatherface,
man.
Flesh face.
He just wants to chainsaw people.
Just wants to love. It turns out his first couple of chainsaws were an accident. He's trying to cut down a tree. Chuts a guy. No!
No, but I kind of like it.
It's not bad.
So the next movie is Scott Pilgrim.
I just watched this last week.
What do you think?
First time. I really liked it. I've never read the comics, but that I'm a big fan of
Michael Cera.
Yeah. I don't know how old he is in this movie. He's never going to age, I don't think. Like, he looks essentially the same age now as he did in Arrested Development.
He's just a little thinner.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It was a great movie. I really enjoyed the comic book / video game.
This was a comic book come alive, basically, this movie. I loved it. Had a lot of talent. Chris Evans was in it.
Yeah, Chris Evans, Brandon Routh. Both of whom have been in their own superhero movies.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of people. The girl that played Anne from Arrested Development was one of the evil girlfriend.
Mae Whitman.
Yeah.
That's her name, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Who else was in that? Oh, shoot. Ben Schwartz. Oh, shoot. I'm just going to fuck up his name. There are some big names in it. There are big names in it.
Yeah.
I forget.
I really love this, too. Have you read the comic books?
I've never read the comic books.
Okay.
Yeah, never read them. I hear they're really good. I keep seeing they keep reprinting them. I'll get it at some point, but I love the movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed the camera work, especially a lot of quick cuts. Kind of the visual, the framing of things was very kind of like comedy, kind of playful the entire time as well.
Yep,
I enjoyed it.
Good movie. The next one is Catwoman.
Oh, favorite movie on this list, hands down, sir.
Okay. What a shitty, shitty movie.
It was awful. Segway, the on our list, it goes Catwoman and then The Crow is after that. Watch Catwoman if you can stand it. Watch The Crow because the first one's pretty good. Listen to the opening monologues.
It's the same thing.
They hit the same fucking... They say the same thing. Okay, Crow came out 90s.
94.
Catwoman came out 2004. Let's put the exact same... Literally, word for word, audience, the exact same thing is said. It's said that when someone dies, a crow, parentheses, or a cat, carries their body from the land of the living to the land of the dead. What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, all right, Catwoman sucked.
End of podcast.
Halle Berry Well, first off, I think they just wanted her to... Somebody wanted her to see her in a cat outfit.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't care about anything else.
After... This is when Halle Berry was really, like, kind of at her... I don't want to say she's peaked or whatever, but, like, she just won an Oscar.
Yeah.
For Monsters Ball. So she was kind of like... She could kind of write her own ticket or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she did Catwoman and won Razzies for it.
Well, Catwoman was a horrible movie. Sharon Stone was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharon Stone is not one of my favorite actresses. I think she's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Everything that's not Casino.
Benjamin Bratt. You're a Benjamin Bratt fan?
Just weird casting, too, to put him in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you haven't seen it, it's a horrible plot. It's a horrible movie. Nobody's going to top Michelle Pfeiffer or Anne Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to top those as Catwoman. Well, don't waste your time with Catwoman.
Yeah. It's not even the same character, arguably. Like, does she have a whip in this one?
I think so.
Well, I don't think Anne Hathaway had a whip. Doesn't matter. Because this Catwoman has superpowers, apparently. Like, she's completely not the same character at all. Like, she doesn't exist in Gotham City, I don't think.
Yeah, it's just a shitty movie. And it shouldn't... I don't even consider it it's not from the Bat universe, it doesn't seem.
Yeah, it's not in... I think the bad guy in this movie was like a pharmaceutical company. It was. Like, I think it's some sort of cream.
Big Pharma.
Yeah, she takes on Big Pharma. She takes him right down. Sharon Stone took her down a peg or two.
Good job. The next movie on the list, like Brian said, is The Crow.
Mm-hmm.
I love The Crow.
Yeah.
The first Crow is an excellent movie. James Obar created the comic to kind of help get over the death of his fiance.
Mm-hmm.
So... He, you know, it's
really,
it's, yeah, this movie, this Oof. Movie is the that's movie deep. And the comic is just born of tragedy.
Yeah, that's
oh, yeah, yeah,
that's pretty powerful. That's pretty awful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jesus. So it stars Brandon Lee, son of Bruce Lee, who tragically died on the set
of Crow, of the second one,
of the first one,
the first one,
first
he died
one.
The first one.
Yeah, he died in the first one.
I thought that he died shooting the second one.
No, the second one was Miguel something was the actor who
did I know.
It.
I thought they replaced Brandon Lee because he was...
No.
Really? When did he die?
When did he die?
Yeah, like where in the filming?
The scenes in there when he takes on the group full of...
the killers?
Yeah. There was a gun. There was a small piece of a metal shell casing in the gun, the prop gun, and it dislodged... When they fired at him, and it went into his gut, and he eternally bled. They couldn't save him.
Jeez.
Now, he had a... I know way too much about the Lee family.
You really do.
But Eliza Hutton was his fiancée at the time, and they were both, like, 27, and she, you know... Yeah, he died in North Carolina. Wilmington, North Carolina is where they filmed it. Where I was just this weekend.
That is not how a man like that should die.
No.
Not a place he should
die. And this movie really made Brandon Lee... it made him a star at the time. He was kind of up and coming. This movie would have propelled him into superstardom, but he made him a star after his death. And they had
famously, yeah.
And they it was a good movie. They had filmed most of it. They had to use some stand-ins to film the rest of it. But it's a story of Eric Draven and how he came into being the Crow, and it just tells the origin of it. And it was a great movie. I liked it a lot. It had a good soundtrack.
I used to have the soundtrack to this. It's a killer soundtrack.
Still do. Yeah. I still do. The Cure is on there, Nine Inch Nails. And, man, it was a great movie, and it's a shame that...
Stone Temple Pilots. Yeah, a lot of good ones.
Oh, yeah. And they're about to remake it, about to reboot the franchise.
Yeah, they are. Because that's what it needs.
To be rebooted?
Yeah.
There was two movies afterwards. After it is City of Angels, which was really hard, where the Crow just runs around crying all the time because he doesn't want to be the Crow.
Yeah.
And it's filmed in this weird, like, yellows and reds that are hard to watch the whole movie.
I watched a little bit of that. It's on YouTube, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to watch. And then the third had, like, Tara Reid and Edward Furlong.
Edward Furlong, yeah.
Which, whenever you have those two
actors,
you know the movie's going to be shit.
Yeah.
So.
That's an up-and-down career for Edward Furlong. American History X, Terminator 2, The Crow 3.
Yeah, direct-to-video. I think it's called Crow 3 direct-to-video. Yeah.
That's the subtitle, direct-to-video.
Sometimes when a movie's horrible, a crow will fly it directly to the video store. A crow will fly it directly to the 99-cent five-day rental bin.
Yeah. Also, Ernie Hudson in The Crow.
Yeah.
As a cop.
As a cop,
he can
great.
Really only play a cop, I think.
Or Ghostbuster.
Oh, man.
So, that was a good movie. What's the next on this list?
Superman. A lot of movies there.
Who's the definitive Superman for you?
Definitive Superman, it's going to have to be Christopher Reeve, because there's only really been one other on the
screen. No, there's been more. Brandon Roth, he played the one that did the...
Superman Returns.
And then, yep. And then George Reeves, no relation to Christopher Reeves, played Superman in the...
In the television show?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't...
And there's Dean
Cain. I wasn't thinking of those. Dean Cain. Ah, Dean Cain.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going TV as well.
Yeah.
I used to watch Lois and Clark like every week.
It was a good show.
Sixth, seventh grade.
It was a good show.
Yeah, man, that was prime Terry Hatcher.
Yeah,
she was looking real good in that in that show. Yeah, I liked that show, and I liked Superman Returns. A lot of people didn't seem to, but I read something the other day because we have Man of Steel coming out. Superman Returns made like $400 million worldwide.
It was not
a flop. Financially.
Yeah. Well,
but people just, I guess, did they just, the studio just decided not to do another one.
It was critically panned.
Yeah.
And I think what made it such a big movie is that it was one of the first movies released in IMAX, which is like $18 a ticket.
Yeah.
You know, I think it rode the initial wave of not releasing in IMAX.
Yeah.
That's where I saw it.
I didn't see, how was that airplane scene in IMAX?
Insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, the best action part of
the movie. It's not a horrible movie. Kevin Spacey was in it as Lex Luthor.
Yeah. You had...
Gene Hackman's way too old to be Lex Luthor, so they brought in Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey was good.
Kate Bosworth was Lois Lane.
It was pretty good. Cyclops.
Yeah.
James Marsden was in it.
I liked it. It was a good movie, but I'll always love Superman the movie. The first Superman movie with Christopher Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. Superman 2 was okay because it introduces, of course,
Zod.
Just fucking iconic bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Great movies. I know you love Superman 3.
Yeah. Guilty pleasure movie right there, Superman 3.
I love
Richard
that.
Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor all of a sudden is a
computer genius.
Computer genius. I can program this. No problem. Nicky blam, nicky blam. Hey, look, I just made $1 million. Hey, that
plot? Just makes kryptonite. Just makes it.
Great movie. That's when Superman also puts out the fire.
Of the Olympic torch. He straightens the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah.
I think he rapes the bad guy's girlfriend.
He goes nuts.
In the Statue of Liberty torch.
He goes nuts.
He goes, and he fights Clark Kent. Clark Kent comes out of Superman's head, and they fight each other in a junkyard. Clark Kent also has super strength. Has the same powers as Superman.
Well, I like him when he's flicking the peanuts at the mirror.
And he cracks the mirror. I love mean Superman. He's like sort of drunk and has a 5 o'clock shadow, so you know he's evil.
That's how you determine evil back then was if they have. Me and Brian both have 5 o'clock shadows. Remember
constantly.
The evil version of ourselves.
Yeah, I'm doppelganger of the real Brian.
And then the next Superman was A Quest for Peace, which I thought was just...
With the nuclear guy.
Yeah, just a weird, weird movie. It was kind of annoying. John Cryer was in it. And he played a very annoying character. He played the nephew of Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very stereotypical 80s teenager dude.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We see dude a lot and have blonde-tipped frosted hair.
Ugh.
It's just kind of weird.
I listened to a podcast recently with the guy that played one of the three Kryptonian bad guys from the second movie. Cannot recall his name right now, but it was a very good podcast. He was the big one.
The bearded guy.
The silent one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a great amount of insight, and that guy is apparently like real OG. Like his dad was mafia.
Yeah.
And he had been in a lot of stuff, and apparently he took shit from no one.
Oh,
like I guess Christopher Reeve kind of was getting a little bit kind of like, well, I'm Superman and blah, blah, blah. And he apparently like grabbed Christopher Reeve and lifted him off the ground by his neck and was like, cause Christopher Reeve was like, in his 20s when he made this movie, and was like, you need to calm the fuck down or I'll hurt you. He said that they were scheduled, I guess, to make somewhere an insane amount of Superman movies, like 20 or something like that.
Well, the first one made so much money, and it really legitimized Superman on the screen.
Uh-huh.
Because superheroes on the TV had kind of gone down. Wonder Woman had gotten corny. Hulk had gotten corny.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hulk movies were just like, eh.
Was there a Shazam?
Yeah, there was.
Television show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How old was that?
That was probably around 73, 74.
I didn't know that for the longest time. I'll have to check that out. I love Captain Marvel. I wish they would do a Captain Marvel movie.
Oh, they should. They absolutely should bring that character back in some way.
Yeah, because he's always been kind of second tier, like,
yeah.
He's a lesser Superman.
Yes.
Yeah. I love
we'll talk about that. Never mind.
Okay, so what's next on the list?
The DC animated films.
Okay, let's skip over that. Let's do that last. Let's do Bill Bixby's The Hulk.
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno combination of The Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show. I like the movies a lot. I still watch them. I still have the DVDs. I still watch it all the time.
The Trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
I love that so much. I love this. There's like the box art is Bill Bixby turning into the Hulk on the stand.
Like Bill Bixby like...
With
gritting his teeth.
And he's got contacts.
Yeah.
And it's like... All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling a surprise witness. The Incredible Hulk!
He like has to dick punch himself. Oh, God!
Stop. I don't want to make me mad.
And then they would always go to the close-ups like of the bicep tearing, of the pants leg tearing, the back of the shirt tearing.
It's like, hey, let's pull back and see the whole thing. No.
Because you'll see the PAs tearing this in half. Lou Ferrigno's gigantic back.
The Hulk show was great for a guy that was painted in just, you know, green
and
paint.
Deaf. Yes.
And deaf as shit. Mm-hmm. It is cheesy. Yep.
Absolutely.
Especially by today's standards. But it
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's still awesome.
How many seasons did that run?
Like five or six.
Okay. So it was on for a while. It wasn't
on for a long time.
It wasn't like the original Star Trek was on like two seasons.
No.
Okay.
And the original was on three seasons. But so it's funny because I remember as a kid, we went to like an auto show. I was like four and my brother was like eight or nine.
Mm-hmm.
And through a fake wall, busted a man dressed as Hulk. Capitalizing on the Hulk. Scared the shit out of my brother. At 4 years old, I was like, that's not the Hulk because he's got a pot belly. Hulk don't have pot belly. My 9-year old, much older brother's like, oh dear God, get me out of here.
It's the fucking Hulk, get out of here.
Nope. Who said that was good? Who said he's showing up? Who pissed him off?
Who made him angry?
Yeah. But yeah, that was, I remember that. I still got a picture of me with pot belly Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's hard to get it's easy to get big, you know, biceps. It's hard to get your abs in shape. Lou Ferrigno did it. This guy was probably paid $100 and a pack of, you know, Marlboro Reds.
Krispy Kreme donuts for a month.
He didn't work his midsection.
No.
But
it's hard to do.
I love the Hulk. I love the movies that came out. There was like Hulk with Daredevil. There was a movie where Daredevil was in there.
Was that the Trial movie? Because
yeah, that was Trial. Because okay. Yeah, that was
He's
Trial.
A lawyer
there's the death of the death of Hulk movie was the final one where Hulk dies.
Yeah,
he like drops from a plane.
Yeah.
But you don't know if Hulk dead or not.
Hmm.
But then Bill Bixby died. So yeah, Hulk's dead. Lou Ferrigno's not doing that anymore. And then there was like Hulk meets Thor. That was another really good one.
I remember
one.
That, yeah.
Yep, that was another really good one. So that was a great show. I still watch that from time to time. I still tell people that was just classic television for my youth.
Yeah, I enjoyed that very much. I didn't watch every episode of it, but I do remember like the reporter that would just follow him around trying to find what paper did he work for?
That didn't matter.
Never had to go into work, apparently.
Six years, no deadline.
Never. He's been working on one story.
Yep.
What's he living on?
Yep.
I don't know.
That was, I think his name was Jack McGee. Was like,
McGee, that's a sleazy sounding name.
Yeah. And he's always like, Mr. Banner. I'm not Mr. Banner. I'm Ted Nettington.
Yeah.
It's like,
don't make me angry.
Yeah, don't make me angry.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's like you... Ted Nettington, you look like the last guy who worked at a scientific warehouse or whatever that burned down.
Have you been in a gamma radiation accident? Yes or no? Gotta go.
Am I on the record?
Yeah.
All right, what else we got? Iron Man 3, I haven't seen it. You talk about that.
Okay.
I'll start that well.
Yeah, yeah. Very different from the other two Iron Mans. I thought you had seen it. That's why I put it on the list.
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. I recommend seeing it. I'll leave it at that. I recommend seeing it. Very different. Some definite twists in there that you're not going to see. That you don't really see coming too much. Special effects. A lot of CGI. A lot of armor flying around because we can control it remotely. That's all I'm going to say about it because there's a lot of spoilers in there that I'm going to lead to.
Are you
still trying?
Again?
I need to watch it again. I'm still trying to digest whether where it ranks in my list of things I like of the Iron Man movies and comic book movies as a whole.
How did Robert Downey Jr. do?
He's fine. They kind of position it like it's after the New York incident and Avengers, and he's kind of like
putting some continuity into these
freaked out about everything, which I thought was a little I mean, Tony Stark's like, I wish I could be Tony Stark. Like, he's the most self-confident, like, cool guy on the planet. He's kind of freaked out. Downey Jr. did a good job. There's a lot of jokes. There's a lot of jokes in the movie. They try to bring out funny some humor. Up. Yeah. Go see it.
Okay.
Go see it. And then we'll talk more about that maybe after you see it. And it's been out for a little bit, so we can maybe do some spoilers or something.
Avengers 2 is in the works.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for that because I love the first Avengers. We talked about this last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way they're trying to keep some continuity in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
I love that because they don't do that and they haven't done that before.
It's hard to do some with movies because not everyone owns all the rights to all the characters. I mean,
Disney does, so they can do it.
Yeah. Well, do they? I mean, because Columbia owns the rights, I thought, to Spider-Man.
Well, have you seen Spider-Man in any of these?
No, yeah, I know, but, like, to do the universe as a whole.
It does. They do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Spider-Man reboot was just basically a way to keep the property in Columbia's hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, okay, well, I'll see that. Let's see. Well, let's just jump down to, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was originally a comic book, and then it became
a joke. It started out as a joke.
It started out as a joke comic book that, you know, in the indie comic scene became huge.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find issues of that now for cheap at all. Original issues of that. Insanely expensive. Huh. Super sought after.
Okay.
I think next month or the month after, they're putting out, like, omnibus formats of the original ones, like hardback of the original issues. I might buy that.
Okay.
But anyway, that show, it became a cartoon.
Yeah.
And a toy line.
Mm-hmm.
And video game. Everything that you could spring off of the Ninja Turtles came from that. So as a joke, it's the most profitable joke probably in history.
Yeah, I loved that cartoon. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loved it. Played the video games. I had a Ninja Turtles, like, electric toothbrush. I have, like, a Donatello, like, chair pillow sort of thing. We still have a Michelangelo, like, cereal bowl somewhere in my house.
Well, it was really crazy
cereal, mass-marketed. Which was awful, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they had everything. They probably had a fucking soda.
Yeah.
You know, they probably had a toaster oven.
Yeah.
But it was insane how big that got. Now, the first movie was excellent.
Yeah. I like it. There's a definite shift in the tone of the first and second movies, but you're right. The first movie, kind of dark.
Kind of dark.
There's some cussing in it. Raph cusses. Mm-hmm. I like that. They're a little bit more mysterious, not quite as, like, out in the open as in the second one. There's no Vanilla Ice cameo in the first one. I do like that they brought in Casey Jones.
They brought in Casey Jones, mm-hmm. who went on to have a big career, that guy.
Did.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's in a bunch of other stuff right after that.
I have seen him in other things. Yeah. He's always a bad guy.
Always a bad guy.
Well,
He was in Fallen. He was in Fallen. He was in a movie called...
Shooter, I think, too.
Some kind of wonderful John Hughes movie where he was kind of a bad guy turned. Yeah. He was just a good actor. Yeah. And April O'Neil, they had, you know, the whole
Splinter.
Gamut. Splinter.
Shredder.
Yeah. They had some really good voice talent. Corey Feldman played Donatello, through the series. It was really awesome. Awesome movie. Great for the time. They used very little computer-generated effects.
Mm-hmm. The suits, yeah, they...
They were pretty
decent. I mean, I thought they were pretty decent-looking costumes. I mean, for the time, and I haven't seen the movie in a while, but, I mean, they're doing kicks and punches and martial arts in what are probably terribly uncomfortable suits.
Yeah, well, they had some top talent. Ernie Reyes, you know, Junior was in that, and he was a top Taekwondo talent back in the day when we went to MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Lamb. I could name off a lot of guys that were in there just from doing.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Don't.
Mm-hmm. You don't?
No. I don't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So great movie.
The two
movies that came out after that, Secret of the Ooze, which was just like, okay, that's not all that bad. Yeah. Turtles in Time was really bad.
I've never seen all of Turtles in Time. I don't understand why. I do know enough about Turtles in Time to know they obviously travel back in time. That I think it's the same April O'Neil as in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Casey Jones in the second one, but he is in the third one.
Yeah, he should have been third.
Yeah. I have watched the second one the most out of all of them.
Have you? For the Vanilla Ice scene?
Yeah.
For the
Ninja Rap? I have that song.
Ninja Rap or whatever?
The Ninja Rap song.
Yeah.
I have it.
On his iPhone.
It's pretty catchy. It's your ringtone. Yeah. I won't tell you what the picture is when you call. I like the second one too, though. But it's definitely not in the same league, I think, as the first one with the like the super shredder, where he, right. I guess, drinks this toxic ooze, and it not only makes him bigger, it makes his armor bigger. He grows more spikes, more just of everything. It's crazy. Toka and Rezar, which I guess were supposed to be Rocksteady and Bebop, but maybe they why they didn't do that, I don't know.
Well, you know who they are.
I mean, I know who they're supposed to be.
Same characters.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. The third one I did not see, but there have been multiple reiterations of the cartoon.
The cartoon has come and failed so many times. I mean,
after that first one. The first one was on a long time. Yeah.
And then they try to reinvent and, you know, reintroduce the characters. And I think now they've got one that's on, like, Nickelodeon that's pretty popular.
I read something about that a while ago. The in the original cartoon, the 90s, beloved 90s cartoon, all the turtles are essentially identical. You take off their masks, and if they don't speak, you can't tell which is which, if they don't have their weapons or anything. In this one, they've actually changed the body style of each of them to kind of make them a little more make them a little more unique.
Give them some identity.
Yeah, give them some identity. I was like, I'm okay with that. Yeah. That's a cool thing to do. They got another movie coming out.
Got a movie coming out. Michael Bay is rebooting the franchise. Yeah. That's good or bad. You know,
it will be a huge-ass movie.
It's going to be a big movie. Yeah. It's probably going to be a good movie. I like the first Transformers.
That was okay.
I like the first Transformers.
Get down with that. Yeah.
Michael Bay knows how to introduce a series. He doesn't know how to keep a series fresh after the first one.
No.
Look at, like, Bad Boys and then Bad Boys 2 and stuff like that. I mean, he's like, okay, the first one's always good. The second one's always whatever you like in the first one just ramped up. And, he just last week or the week before, he said, hey, look, we're not going to screw with the origins.
They're not going to be aliens.
Thanks. They are going to be mutants.
Yes.
That's what, I mean, people were up in arms over this. Mm-hmm. Even the creators were divided over whether you should make this or not. And they were very vocal about, you know, one of them, I don't know which one it was, Eastman or Laird, I'm not sure which one it was, but like, no, this is going to be a mistake. But I think Michael Bay has kind of made it a little more true to the original source material. April O'Neil was going to be Megan Fox.
I'm surprised by that for the simple fact that I thought Michael Bay and Megan Fox hated each other.
They did. They had a huge falling out, which is why she wasn't in Transformers 3.
Yeah.
I think she'll be in any shitty movie, to be honest. She was in Jonah Hex, which is another...
She got her start on Transformers. That whole leaning over the hood scene
made her
like that. That was her peak right there, you know. But she could be the part of April O'Neil.
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett playing Vernon something. The other sleazy reporter.
That's gonna be pretty cool because Will Arnett knows he is best when he's sleazy.
Yeah, he plays as sleazy. I just hope he's Joe Bluth, just with a different name. I would love to hear that. I hope there's a lot of sexual harassment going on. There probably is on set, but on camera as well.
So that's gonna be a great movie. Hopefully, the first one at least. Hopefully,
it'll be good.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Have you heard anything about are the turtles gonna be real people? Are they gonna be CGI?
Know. I don't know.
Okay.
Probably on the same level the Transformers were.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on from that. We're going to hit the last one is the DC animated movies. DC has put out a series of animated movies in the... Now, they've done this since, like, 95, but they've really ramped them up lately.
Yeah.
And they've been excellent.
Absolutely.
You can probably go back until... we can probably talk about the ones like Under the Red Hood and... Mm-hmm. Batman Beyond, and what are the other ones? What's that?
Gotham Knights.
Gotham Knights.
They put out The Dark Knight Returns.
No, I mean of, like, the old ones. Back in, like, 97, 98.
Oh.
Phantom...
Phantom Menace.
No. Mask of the Phantasm.
Mask of the Phantasm. Yeah, Phantom Menace is Star Wars. Yeah. I apologize.
So they have some... Okay. They have a history of putting out really good movies. Mm-hmm. But lately, they put out Year One. They've made a really great adaptation of Year One.
I have not read or watched that. I really want to see that.
Great book. Graphic novel turned into a really good movie. I think it's streamable on Netflix, actually. Dark Knight Returns, one and
Netflix,
two.
You're right. Okay. Yeah, has Dark Knight Part 2 come out yet?
Oh, yes. I need to loan that to you. It's very good.
I can borrow it. You loaned me the first one, and I just finished reading that comic. I've read it within the last... couple of months.
A Frank Miller classic.
What a great what a great comic. It covers the... You can see elements of what Chris Nolan took out of that to put into his franchise as well, where Batman's, in that comic at least, is in his 60s, probably, and still built-up dude. You know, the mutant gang is starting to take over. He dons the cape and cowl again.
Then he takes one last go at the Joker in part two, or, you know, if you're watching the movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He lets the Joker die.
Yep.
Which was crazy. I actually didn't expect that. He gets essentially beaten by the leader of the mutant gang during their first encounter, has to get rescued by the new Robin.
Yep.
The girl Robin.
Yep. Carrie Kelly.
Comes back with the... Well, that was when he had the giant tank and decided to go out and said, I'm going to take this guy on, and lost. And there's Alfred screaming at him the whole time. Like, don't, sir. Please. Oh, God.
Master Wayne.
Master Wayne. Michael Caine. comes back and has that great fight scene in the mud.
Yeah.
The second one. I loved reading that, and I loved watching it on
and then
the DVDs.
Basically, the whole mutant gang looks at him and is like, fuck this. We're going to follow Batman.
We're now Batman guys. And they essentially change their face masks and continue with their brutal tactics in the name of good.
Oh, name of, Bruce Wayne. Excuse me, of Batman.
Yeah. So, fights Superman.
Yeah.
Fights Superman in this movie. Charges up, like, some sort of Hulkbuster-type armor and goes after Superman.
The comic book is very much 80s. Mm-hmm. It's, it's really us against Russia, and it's we're afraid of nuclear war and keeping everybody in line. And you can tell that it's really represented in the movies and the books. The movie is just excellent.
Mm-hmm.
They also did Year One. They've done a bunch of movies actually. They've done like Superman and Batman movies and
They got like where it's just the Justice League and the other Justice League.
Yeah, JSA.
Infinite Earths.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have not watched that one. I haven't bought that one.
But I've seen it. Very, very cool movies. So DC animated movies are excellent. If you get a chance to watch any of those, especially the recent ones, definitely jump on them.
Definitely recommend the Gotham Knight series. A lot of these are Batman-based, obviously. That's what we're focusing on here. Gotham Knight's just short, probably 10-minute long clips, six or seven of them, all animated a different way. Sort of an overarching storyline.
It's like an anthology with a common theme that runs through all of them.
But all animated, very different styles, but all very, very good. They all have the same voice actors throughout. Yeah. They're just absolutely terrific.
All right, so I think that's all on our list, man. And we've gone like almost 50 minutes on this.
Yeah, I could talk about this for another 5 hours.
We're not going to do that.
Okay.
So, cool. Hey, I hope we covered some of your favorite movies or stuff, or I hope we convinced you to either avoid or watch some of the movies we talked about. If we have, or we haven't, or you got any recommendations, let me know. Hit me up at avidgamerinc@gmail.com, or on Twitter. I am all over Twitter at avidgamerware, or find the Avid Gamer page on Facebook. But let me know. Or always just go to the website, avidgamerware.com. We're going to have some new shirts up.
Oh, yeah.
Got some new shirts coming soon. I can't wait for that. They're in production right now.
And you're going to a show soon, right?
Going to Too Many Games Expo in Philadelphia, June 14th through the 16th. So, please, if you're out in Philadelphia and you want to come to a cool video game expo, stop by, say hello to me. I always look forward to talking to people about nerdy shit. And come look what we're selling. We'll just have a good time. Brian, thank you so much for talking to me about comic book movies again.
You're welcome, E.T. Anytime.
All right. So, hey, for E.T. and Brian, thank you so much.
Bye.
Take care.